Oh man, it's so good to see you guys. I have spent the last couple days with my grandsons, and why I love my grandsons very, very much, you need to understand that. 2 days with Breckenridge are like months, months. The message says this: this is how much God loved the world, that he gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why: so that no one needs be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point out in an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world right again. And anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. That's John 3:16 through 18 in the message. We have been in a series where we have been talking about John 3:16. We said that God loved so much that he gave. And what did he give? He gave his very best, his only begotten son, so that then it became our part, so that if we believe, then we will live. And we celebrate that new life today because Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead. I want to read this story. This is the resurrection story. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal in stone and posting the guard. Boom, it's there. He's done. It's over. No more Jesus, no more this Christ movement, no more this. We can get back to just having religion the way we were having it before. We can get back to just the way that things were. However, after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Can you imagine that? These ladies getting to the tomb and the stone is no longer in front and there's a big old angel sitting on it. Okay? Be kind of freaky. Remember how it freaked out the shepherds? And they had to say, hey, don't be afraid. We have good news. There's an angel sitting there. They're thinking, are we even at the right tomb? Are we even at the right tomb? Mr. Angel, what's going on? His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women go in, they look and they see. All right, first missionaries about the risen Lord. Go back and tell the disciples. And so they go back, right? Don't tell me women can't be in ministries. I will Indian wrestle you down, okay? So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me. And while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. And when the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you were to say his disciples came during the night and they took him away while we were asleep. And if this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. See, if they would have fallen asleep, it would have been their death sentence. But they said, hey, we'll handle it. Okay, you just, here's the money. Sounds like sometimes the way we do things, doesn't it? So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. To this very day. I want to talk about the stone. I want to talk about the rock. I want to talk about the stone. I remember, you ever go to those little mountain stores or whatever, you go into, you know, little mountain towns or whatever, and they got these little knick-knack stores, and you go in there, and they have a weather rock. Y'all know what a weather rock is? Well, if the rock's wet, it's raining. If the rock is blowing like this, it's windy. If the rock is kind of hot when you touch it, it's sunny out. You know, it's a weather rock. It'll tell you what the weather is. If it's dry, You know, it hadn't been raining. You know, if you can't see the rock, it's probably foggy. And it gets foggy up in the mountains, right? So if the rock's gone, you know, it's one of them freak tornadoes like we just had recently. So when you come in today on Easter, you come in expecting, you know, okay, let's just hear the same story over and over again. But I want to ask you some questions. Are you wondering today how to receive eternal life? Are you wondering what this Resurrection Sunday, what this Easter Sunday is all about? Are you wondering how to be set free from the fear of death? Are you wondering why Christianity might be different than any other religion? Are you wondering if Jesus is really God? Is he triune in spirit? Are you wondering if Jesus is all, everything that he said he was? He did what he said he was going to do. He will do what he said he will do. Are you wondering if Jesus really conquered death, or was his body stolen? Are you wondering if Jesus is alive today? You know, when he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there too. Are you wondering that today? Are you wondering if Jesus is going to speak to you, to your heart today? Are you wondering if God is coming again? If you're wondering if he keeps his promise, I tell you, check the rock. Check the rock. The stone was moved. The stone was moved. 3 days, the stone was moved. And I want to tell you, and I said this on Maundy Thursday, the idea of Lazarus being dead for 4 days, they didn't want to open the tomb because he stunk, right? Some people have been dead long, long, longer than Lazarus. They've been living a life and you stink. And so we have to check the rock, because now that the rock has been moved, your rock has been moved. Jesus Christ, let's look at Luke 9:22. Jesus Christ was crucified, killed, murdered. He died just like he said he would. Look, it says, saying, the Son of Man might suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day raised. He said this. He let them know that this was going to happen. In fact, the Jews knew the prophets so good, they would have gone back to Isaiah. He was despised and rejected a man. In his appearance, we knew him not. There were prophecies about Jesus. There were words that he spoke and the things that he did, and people saw this. But when he disappeared, it's like our life is over. We followed this myth, this legend, this nothing, and our lives are awful until you check the rock. It's gone. Jesus didn't open the tomb so he could come back out of, so he could come out. I mean, Jesus is popping in and out of doors that are locked. You know, in the upper room where they're all standing around, Jesus just, boop, he appears, right? He didn't need to move the rock. You know why the rock was moved? So you could look in and see that the rock is empty. Guys, that is good news. That is good news. The resurrection vindicated Jesus' claims about himself, that he was the Son of God in flesh. He is the fulfillment of God's dealings with humankind. When you go to the tomb of Jesus, and I've been there, I guess, you know how you get there and they say, oh, well, this is his tomb, or this might be his tomb, or this might be his tomb. But there's a tomb that people line up, and we, you know, you go in that tomb and you look, and there's to say, why are you looking here? He's no longer here. He's risen. And it's like, why are we looking there? Why are we looking in this empty tomb? It's because the stone has been rolled away, and Jesus is here with us today, alive and well. And if that doesn't get you shaken, I don't know what else to do. He defeated death. He kept his promise to rise again. And that is why the angel rolled back the stone, so everyone could see that the tomb was empty and he was alive. Paul emphasizes a key point in 1 Corinthians. He says this, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. You see, the resurrection validates, it authenticates the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not a deception. It is not a deception, but the truth backed up with action. He defeated death and rose from the grave. And I believe what the Bible says, and I have to have faith in what the Bible says, because if you look at what's going on in our world today, not just in America, I'm talking about all around the world, we are living in an unholy, unrighteous time. But you know what? The Bible says that. You go back and read some of the scriptures at the end and you see that the world is going to be given out of control. We are going to be given over to our fleshly desires. We're going to be given over to live how you want to live. That's what it says in the Bible. But it also says Christ is coming back. When he's coming back, he's coming back for those faithful, those that are true to him, that have their eyes set on him. And we are supposed to be light in the world. We are supposed to be a city on the hill. We are supposed to be salt to this world. We are supposed to tell people that they serve a risen Savior who is in this world today. The resurrection. People follow Christ's teachings not to become saved, but because we are saved. We want to live like Christ, not to try to appease him, to try to win our salvation. You're already saved when you give your life to Christ. So we become Christ-like because we want to be like Christ. You know, when I baptized Rondell, you know, Rondell was one of my soccer players, right? And Rondell would see me play soccer, and he goes, "I want to play soccer just like Coach Cook. I just want to be slow, and I just want to run for about 4 minutes and then just kind of throw up over there on the side." No, not really. No, but I'm saying, like, we look at people in our lives, right? And we look up to people, and we want to be like that person. Think of somebody that was an idol or a mentor in your life, and you say, golly, it's like they had it all together. They didn't, but there was something about them that made you want to copy that person. Well, Jesus Christ is the ultimate. And so we want to be like Christ. I want to be forgiving. I want to be generous. I want to embrace the people that no one else wants around. I want to be that person. Why? Not to try to win points with Christ. I can't do that. I've already won everything I possibly can from Christ. I want to do it because I love Christ so much, and I want that to pour out of me. I want that to pour out of me. So, the resurrection tells us a couple things. Number one, it tells us that with God, all things are possible, and it validates the claims of Jesus. Man, he was dead, now he's alive. Christ's resurrection shows that his promises are always kept, even when we think they can't be kept, right? We think it's impossible. Oh, I'll never be able to do that. God says, all things are possible. We think, I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. We think, no one really loves me. God says, I love you. We think, I cannot go on. I can't take another step. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. We think, I can't figure things out. God says, I will direct your steps. We think, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things through me. We think, I'm not able. And God says, you don't have to be able. I am able. We think it's not worth it. God says, it will be worth it. We think, I can't forgive myself. God says, you don't have to. I already forgave you. We think, I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs. We think, I'm afraid. God says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. We think, I'm always worried and I'm frustrated. And God says, cast all your fears and your frustrations on me. We think, I don't have enough faith. God says, I've given everyone a measure of faith. We think, I'm not smart enough. And God says, I'll give you wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, ask for it. We think, I feel alone, and God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Never. So what does all this mean for us? Really, practical terms, what does this mean for us? Well, John the Baptist in verse 36 of John says this, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Similarly, John wrote in his first letter, 1 John says this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brothers, and anyone who does not love remains in death. Remember, love God with everything that's in you, but then you have to love others. And there's some people that are hard to love. I admit it. There's some of you I like a whole lot. There's some people, you know, there are people that are hard to love. My mom will tell you that I'm not always the cherubic kid that you think I was, right? You know, there are some people out there, you know, there are people, you know, and we tend to group them and we tend to say, oh, these people or those people. You know what? We are these people. We are those people. We all are the same. But God has given us new life because the stone has been moved. Ephesians says this, we have been dead in our trespasses and sins. But then chapter 4 says this, we have been alienated from God. We are apart from God. 1 Timothy says, even dead, even while they're alive. And then John 1 again puts it this way, he who has the Son has life, and if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. So what does this mean, the tomb being empty? Well, number one, we live forevermore. Oh, we'll die in the body. There'll be a generation that won't die. You know, I hope we're that generation. You know, and some people say, oh, it's the end times. You know, look at all this craziness going on. It could be, but I'll tell you what, there have been crazy times all through history. So I'm not going to live my life like, okay, God's coming tomorrow, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to live my life like he told me to live every single day while I'm alive. You know? We live forevermore. John 14:2 says this, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I am going there to prepare a place for you. He has gone to prepare a place for us in the heavenly realms, and we need to be excited about that. Woo, I got a great retirement plan. Man, it is out of this world. Okay? And another thing with living forevermore, it isn't just a copy of this life. You know, sometimes, you know, we see a beautiful sunset or a mountain or something, we say, oh, it's so beautiful. Do you realize our home from here is going to be more beautiful than you can imagine, more colors than you've ever seen? The sounds are going to be, everybody's going to sing in tune. You know, not like the people next to you. And I see some of you like elbowing your husbands. Don't do that. And Mark says this, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, no one who has left their home, brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me or the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, that's homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. When you give your life to Christ, you think, oh man, I had to give up this, I had to give up this, I had to give up this. No, think about what you get. 100 times more than what you got. And it's a place we yearn for. You know, we try to fill this emptiness, this hole in our lives, like with stuff. Man, if I could just get that new car. Until you get that new car and you're like, man, this is great. I love the smell. And then the first payment comes in, right? And then it's not so great anymore. And then you say, like, well, I need a new computer. And you get a computer. And then 2 days later, they've got a faster, smaller, bigger, better, whatever computer. And my house isn't enough. And so you get a new house, and then it's not enough. And then you look at your wife and your family, and you say, God, I wish I had a new wife. I wish I had a new family. And they're saying, yeah, we wish we had a new father or whatever. You know, and we're so unsatisfied because we're filling our heart with crazy stuff that is going to let us down. It's never going to satisfy. Only Jesus Christ will satisfy. Only Jesus Christ will satisfy. Revelation says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now is the dwelling of God with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And that is the hope and the faith that fills us and gives us that bright hope for something that's waiting for us beyond the shore. But it's not just yearning for heaven, it's also this, it's living in the right now. It's living in the right now. John, the gospel, takes special interest in describing this. John 5, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me will have eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and all those who heal him will live. Now, when we give our lives to Christ, it's not like, okay, we just sit around and wait for him to come back or for us to die and then go to heaven. It's like you start living your life and live it abundantly now. Now. We see at the moment that we believe, our new life begins. The present, the eternal, is giving us the confidence of things to come, but also in this present moment. And later on in John's letter, he writes this: "These things that I've written to you, that if you believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may have eternal life." We do that, and we do it now, and then we live more abundantly. John 10:10 is a verse that most people know. It says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Abundant living is more than just having enough. It is an overflow of joy and peace in Christ. We talk about, bless me, bless me, bless me. And then you get it, but it's never enough. You always want more. You know, my family tells me all the time, said, "Paul, you'll find a dime on the ground, and then you'll go out and spend a dollar." You know, because I got blessed. And then it's like, you're never going to be satisfied that way. What are you satisfied? It's when we become generous, when we give a smile, we give a compliment, we give a gift, we give something. Isn't it great, the feeling you get when you give something to somebody? That's what God feels when he gives us Jesus Christ and we accept that gift. But we always want to try to pay him back. "Well, God, you know, I'll get you next month. Or I'll tell you what, God, I know you want me to go serve in this food bank, but, you know, man, those people scare me. And or you know, you want me to go and do what with this group over here? I don't know." You know, we always have these conditions. Jesus says this: "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again and again." This is from the Message. "Anyone who drinks the water that I give will never thirst," not ever. This is to the woman at the well. "The water I give you will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again." And that is the good news of this Easter message, is the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, and he is giving us his love and the kind of life that he wants to give us. All we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is accept it. And that's why today we come to the table and we say, you know, we do this in remembrance of him. But he offers you a free gift of eternal life. And you could try to figure this out. Well, was Jesus real? Was there? Yeah, history says. And we're not talking about just the Bible. Two of the biggest history people from the Jewish people said, yes, there was a Jesus Christ, or Jesus, who was crucified and was buried and then was gone. Historically, we know what happened. Historically, after his resurrection, there were hundreds of people that saw him. They saw him, and he talked to people. So he was alive. But some of us today, we're like, well, you know, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. Well, I'll tell you what, open your spiritual eyes today and see it. See it, because that tomb is empty. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, the day that we celebrate your victory over sin, over death, over hell, and we thank you for that new life that you've given each of us. Father, I pray if anybody here today has made a decision for you, Father, I pray while the water is still warm, we'll come up here and we'll just dunk them. And Father, it'll just be a great day all the way around, and we thank you for that. Father, we just ask that you would go with us now, that you would be with us, and that we would be that light to the world, that we would be that city on a hill and the salt to the earth. And Father, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.